This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Waylon McQueen.
And we are back.
We're back after a week off. Well, 2 weeks off. We took a week off.
Right.
It's been two weeks.
We took a week off. We were at separate but equal Bones conventions.
Yeah. Two different ones.
Bones conventions. Independence Day was mine. It was on the 4th of July.
Independence Day.
Yeah. And so it was the Independence Day convention.
Mine didn't have a clever name.
Oh, yeah.
It was just called the South New Jersey Bones Convention.
Was it at Princeton? Is that?
No. Oh, no. It was in a barn.
In South Jersey.
Yeah, it was just in South Jersey. It was there were 33 people. I don't think it was a real Bones convention.
Or maybe it was just a creep inviting people over to watch Bones
and to look at his bone collection.
Oh, there was actual bones involved.
Yeah, not like fossils, just bones he finds.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, sounds great. Yeah. Can't wait to decompress about that.
Yeah.
First, we should talk about baseball because that's what this podcast is about. And we are very excited to be back. We missed some baseball.
Yeah.
You know, 2 weeks of games happened, as a matter of fact. So we are going to talk about some stuff. Before we get into that, we want to give a shout out to Boardwalk Audio, as always, for hosting us. You can support Boardwalk by visiting ducksnortpodcast.com. Click the support our artist link. That'll take you to Amazon. Shop like you normally would. Boardwalk and Ducksnort get a small percentage. So please do that for all of your mid-July gift-giving needs. Also, thanks to Off the Bench Baseball, our distribution partner, continue to crank out the great baseball analysis. They've got an article on the homepage right now about Brandon Nimmo, who's having a great year for the Mets, which segues very nicely into today's episode, in which in the second half, we're going to continue our 30-part series of our favorite and least favorite players for every franchise with the Mets.
The Mets.
But yeah, go check out the article about probable all-star Brandon Nimmo, as well as all the other stuff on Off the Bench. So thanks to those guys. I guess we are going to talk about the Mets. We're going to talk about some surprises and disappointments for this season. But before we even do that, we want to talk about Drag Race for a second because we haven't checked in for a little bit. We have had some good feedback on our Drag Race discussions on Twitter. So if you hate our Drag Race discussions, you should probably let us know that. Otherwise, we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah, we'll definitely. I mean, we won't do it for a while. Since the season ended.
So the season ended while we were on break, I guess.
In our Bones conventions.
We were at our Bones conventions, but we did both watch Drag Race.
Yes.
And so turn off or skip ahead, I guess, if you don't want spoilers, but the season is over.
It ended like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. How do you feel about the ending? It was, Aquaria won.
By
the last couple episodes, it seemed like a foregone conclusion to me that Aquaria was going to win.
Asia's the only person that could have beat her.
Eureka was the only person.
I think it was becoming evident that Rue did not want Eureka to win.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because Robin, my girlfriend, thought that Rue did want Eureka to win.
Well, I think because it became so clear that it had to be Aquaria over Eureka. That's why, because I think Eureka, here's honest. Boy, where do we start? Asia didn't win because Asia just like...
Oh, Asia choked
couldn't
bad.
Have choked more.
Yeah, like, so she... Like if you don't know what
A-Rod in the playoffs level choking.
If you don't know what we're talking about, they did final lip syncs for... There was a tournament of lip syncs. Asia swung big with this like crazy like costume. It was an ugly costume. Yeah. And then there were like these reveals where she was trying to let out these butterflies from within her costume, but the butterflies were like low on oxygen or something.
They weren't
all dead.
No, we have friends that went to the taping.
Oh, did Ellie and Sarah say?
They stopped the lip sync to clean off the
dead butterflies. But there was
because they were crunching on them.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, there were like like some on her still though when
that's true
they and got like, eliminated so they but like regardless
most
like,
of them were dead
yeah
and it was pretty brutal I guess to be their life
yeah that is just like crushingly awkward yeah. for sure
so that sucked because Asia was my favorite and I did think she had a shot to win if she had two good lip syncs.
Here's the thing though that so like the week of the taping on the Drag Race Instagram they put like pictures of all of them basically and we're like vote for your favorite like the ones yeah. that and Aquaria was in first by a lot and then Cameron and Eureka were about equal in second place. Asia was way behind. Yeah.
There are a lot of racist fans.
Well, that's
of
possible too.
Drag Race.
Yeah.
But I
do you think that really do you, oh, of Drag Race?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Have you not You gotta, it's like really bad.
I gotta
like,
go read yeah. some racist shit.
Like the Instagram comments and stuff, it's like super bad.
Ooh.
Like Vixen got it.
Like the
more
movie
than
Super
Asia.
Bad?
It's like, no, Super Bad was good and not racist from what I remember. So the opposite of that.
Yeah.
But after Asia, like Aquaria had to win. I think Eureka beat Aquaria in the first round.
Yeah, agreed.
And then the moment that it was a tie, it was like, oh, well, Aquaria's gonna win because yeah. Cameron doesn't have a shot.
I think if we hadn't seen Eureka lip sync as many times as we already did,
yeah.
she would have had a much better chance. Because we hadn't seen Aquaria lip sync really
That's
at all.
That's true, yeah.
And like Aquaria was a good lip syncer, but I think that Eureka is better. We had just seen her pull off yeah. all of her crazy shit yeah. already. Like if that was the first time we had seen her do the
she
splits or like
it.
A death
yeah.
drop or something, we would have been like, damn, that girl is like 350 pounds and yeah. she just did the fucking splits.
I think Aquaria like definitely won the final lip sync. There's no
yes.
I don't
oh,
think
absolutely.
I don't think there's anything.
That was a great final lip sync song, by the way. Bang Bang.
Yeah.
That was perfect.
That was really good. But I think that Aquaria deserved to win. I don't love Aquaria. Like my wife like came around on her and like really started to like Aquaria as a boy. I mean Aquaria's drag was always great.
Yeah.
And she won Snatch Game, which is crazy because she's not a like comedy queen.
Mm-hmm.
But I like as a boy, I just still, it never clicked with me.
Yeah.
I liked her more, but I don't know. It felt like another Violet Chachki in some way. Although Aquaria does like represent like a young, I think that it's nice to have like, she was like raised on Drag Race.
Yeah. Different generation
yeah.
for sure. I mean, there was what, like Aquaria or Asia was like 35 and Aquaria's 21
something
so
like
that's
that.
Like a,
yeah.
almost a generational difference yeah
but it was cool. I think I was in New York City watching it and where Aquaria's from.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't like at her like bar
home
and I didn't
bar.
Go to like I went to like a lower key gay bar because I don't like crowds. So but people went crazy and it was super fun to watch the whole episode with a crowd like that. I know you go to bars in LA all the time to watch it, so I'm
yeah.
sure it's a pretty similar experience.
Totally. It feels like a sporting event,
yeah,
right?
It really
like people
does.
Are losing their shit, especially I bet for those because there were so many lip syncs, and that's always
yeah.
the part that people lose their shit about the most.
Yeah.
And then to have three lip syncs in a row and like very epic lip syncs with very high highs and very low lows.
Yeah.
There was like a lot of drama to this last episode.
The lip syncs that they did, which was just for fun, like the season one queens, were like season one and
that
season
nice.
10 queens were fun. I feel like there was a reveal with someone had like a huge fan or something that.
Yeah, that was Aquaria.
Oh,
Aquaria had a fan. Oh, no.
They said Vangie.
Yeah, she said had one that said Miss Vangie, but also Yuha had one
yeah.
like a gigantic fan
yeah.
that was like as big as she was.
Yeah, people went crazy for that
yeah.
shit, which is great. It was so fun.
Yeah.
And Rue was sassy as always.
Yeah, it was a good season. I really liked it overall.
It was good. I feel like it hit some bumps towards the end just because like the most interesting people were getting eliminated. Mm-hmm. But it was a very good season. It was definitely better than... I think it was the best season since, I don't know, 8 was pretty good. But it was pretty good. It was a good season.
Well, if you watched it, let us know what you thought of the finale on at Duxnore Pod. Very curious to hear what our baseball fan /
drag
race fan
crossover
friends think. Yeah, the crossover. The cross dress over. I don't know. That probably is politically incorrect.
Yeah, probably.
let's talk about baseball then, because that is the subject of this podcast, ostensibly. So, I had just a little thing that I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah.
which we didn't discuss, but I saw this morning that Alcides Escobar's consecutive game streak is ending today.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
421 games. Okay. He's getting a break. And it was kind of funny. I saw it on Roto World, which is a fantasy sports website that I read, even though I don't play fantasy baseball, just because it has lots of different player news and stuff.
Right.
And they were sort of like sassy in their encapsulation of it, which was basically like, so he hit, his OPS over those 420 games was like 600. And they were like, so this consecutive game streak probably should have ended about 400 games ago. but it is kind of crazy. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on like the end of that streak. It would have also been nice if it ended at a nice round 420 games instead of 421.
421.
Yes, so I'm just curious, like, what your thoughts are about Escobar, about the Royals, who just completed a month where they went 5-21.
Yeah.
And about Ned Yost running Escobar out there for 3 years straight.
Well, I'm going to use this as I'm going to steal your classic segue.
Classic segue.
We were going to talk about disappointing and.
Biggest
surprise. The Royals are going to be my biggest disappointment.
Surprise, biggest disappointment.
Yeah.
Royals.
I feel
are?
Like it's like this is the same conversation. So the Royals were, as you may remember, I stupidly but kind of hope,
You thought the Royals were going to surprise, maybe.
Yeah, I felt like that.
You thought they could hang around 500.
And I feel like we had a couple guests we talked to that were like, it was crazy, but like not as crazy
not
as picking
impossible.
Like the Marlins or the Orioles or something. But boy, are they bad. And, I mean, Escobar is just like, he just like embodies it, right?
Yeah.
Like, first of all, 420 games.
But he's not surprisingly bad. Like, bad as he's been essentially, like, he wasn't even good the year they won the World Series, right? Like, maybe the year before that he had a decent year.
I think his defense was okay. I mean, I think he was like an old school, like, 70s. Like,
but man, they fucking love him.
Oh, I mean, Yost loved him, and maybe, I guess, Dayton Moore. I don't know what... Like, I would love to have interviewed, candidly, like, Eric Hosmer in 2015 to be like, tell me the truth about Escobar. You know what I mean? Like, I would have loved if... Because in 2015, when things were going good, they all were just like, oh, it's a good decision. He's our spark plug. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that kind of stuff. But it's like, there's no way that they were happy with him leading off in a year where they were trying to win a World Series. Like,
yeah, I mean, he obviously shouldn't be leading off. 2014, he was like a little bit worse than league average with the bat, but not
and
like
I think probably
cripplingly.
His defense, and like they had enough good bats where it's like you can have him in there.
Yeah.
And you know, like you get a DH in the AL.
But he was really good in the playoffs in 2015, right?
Sure, but like anybody can be good for 2 weeks,
right?
You know, or like I know the playoffs are longer than that, but like you know, like
he was the ALCS MVP as a matter of
fact. He was good, but still, I still didn't want him to lead off in the World Series.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because you can get anybody, any player that's good enough to be in the majors to stay can get
could
hot
have
for
like a
2 or 3 weeks
streak. Yeah,
anybody can. I mean, he was like kind of fast, so I think he could get like infield hit. I don't know. Like, fine. Like, I don't hate Alcides Escobar. Like, he wasn't my least favorite Royal. Like, 421 consecutive games isn't like super impressive considering the records like Cal Ripken's is like 2,600 or whatever. You know
yeah,
what
I think
like,
it was the longest by a pretty considerable amount.
You're definitely right. And I think it's been the longest in a while. But like, still, I think it's just one of those because the real record is so big.
Right.
It's hard to get me super.
Yeah,
it's like,
you would have needed another 10 years of it.
Yeah,
to come close
and it's
to
like,
Ripken.
And it's also like, cool. So this Ned Yost has been an idiot for 421 consecutive games.
Yeah,
like, is kind of what that says.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, but they're the disappointing team. I didn't think that they'd be this bad. And the crazy thing is that like Moose hasn't been terrible. Gordon started off really well and then cooled way off and now is kind of average. Like, Soler started off well before he got hurt. So it's not like, I think Whit Merrifield's been having a pretty decent season. There's a lot of trade talk about him.
Yeah.
So it's not like.
Well, he's probably going to be their all-star, right?
I would think so. It's just, I guess, like his second base going to be too loaded. Like,
but who else would it be? Yeah.
Because Herrera, it wasn't even good, and he's still not pitching that well.
Moustakas, maybe.
It could be Moose, because he's like the face of their franchise more. I mean, Whit Merrifield deserves it. Salvi's having a terrible season.
And he's hurt now, too, and right?
He's always like... Yeah. But it's their pitching. Their pitching's just been like... Because the Royals always squeaked by on pitching while their offense was okay. And their pitching has just been... No, Hamill's terrible. Junis isn't good. Like, Kennedy's not good.
What do you think of the... did you read any of the, like, Luke Heimlich stuff?
That's such dumb... Are you kidding me?
If you're not aware of Luke Heimlich, he was a college pitcher who went undrafted because he, as a minor, had pled guilty to, sexual assault of a child, basically. And Dayton Moore has been, like, sort of making these very public rounds of, like, yep, we're thinking about signing Luke Heimlich.
Why would you do that?
Well, it seems done. Well, I mean... I would, first of all, if people haven't heard of this or even have heard of it and want an insightful piece about it, I would encourage people to go read John Sickles' piece about it on minorleagueball.com. And John Sickles is a great writer and a great prospect evaluator, but he wrote very eloquently and, like, from the heart, as it was an issue that's very close to him. So I would suggest going to read that. But, like, so, like the thing that I don't understand is, like, apart from, like, whatever moral judgments you're going to make of somebody, like, either sign them or don't. Like, why is he making this, like, press tour about, pontificating on the moral questions of signing? It's just do it or don't.
Yeah.
Like, and if you do it, okay, then you can be like, here's our statement or whatever. But, like, there's no reason to be sort of, like...
But it's, like, also, like, he's not... Like, so, for people that don't know, what's his name? It's not is it Heimlich.
Yeah, Luke Heimlich.
He's good, right? Like,
yeah, he was like potentially a first round pick.
So I get if you're the Nationals or you're the even like Diamondbacks, where it's like, I'm just going to sign him. It's not a great PR move, but kind of we'll forget about it. The same way the Cubs signed Aroldis Chapman and then the Yankees. You know what I mean? I know that I'm not trying to say the crimes are equal.
Right.
But like, if you're the Royals and your biggest thing is that obviously no one cares about your team, why would you want people to focus on this? Like, it's not going to fly under the radar. It's only bad PR. That's like what's so stupid. I don't understand. Like, I don't think they should sign him for the reasons that most people, but also it's like, why would you even, like, what's the point?
I guess I get it from like a baseball perspective of like, they have the worst team in the majors, they have just about the worst farm system in them. So it's like, if you're trying to build a competitive team, like the Royals, especially being in a smaller market, like the Royals are a team that needs to probably take some chances.
But
like, whether or not this is a chance that they should take, like, I'm not saying that,
right.
But I'm saying, like, I get the organizational thinking of, like, yeah, we can add a talented kid, and, like, if we believe in redemption and we believe that we can help him, like, maybe this is a good opportunity for that. But I just don't get, like, why, you're just putting your fucking foot in your mouth over and over with these interviews where he's, like, you know, dismissing victims and all of that. And then, like, on top of that, he compared Heimlich to Jerod Dyson. And Jerod Dyson was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, keep me the fuck out of this. Like, Jerod Dyson was a guy they signed because he had taken amphetamines.
Right,
like,
yeah.
You know, like caffeine pills. He was not the same thing.
That's,
you know?
That's what I'm saying is, like, I get the taking a chance, but first of all, there's no guarantee with pitchers. It's not like this is Bryce Harper. You know what I mean? Like, it's some pitcher that, like, was probably a first round pick. Right? He's a pitcher? I'm not...
Yeah.
And also, it's like I said, it's just only bad. Like, take your chance on some other pitcher that didn't get a chance because they took amphetamines or because they had to drop out of school. Or, like...
Right.
Like, there's so many people. And I think if you're so bad and you're trying to attract people, like, this is terrible.
Yeah, no,
you're
right about
that. That's why I think if you're a team that's, like, kind of good or already... Like, the Blue Jays have such a solid fan base. Like, I think if they just signed them, they'd get some heat. But then it's like... It feels like, I don't know, this is shitty talking it from like a PR angle perspective, but it's like, it makes it even worse. I think it's no matter what, it's going to be bad for someone to sign him at this point, but it's even worse when it's like, it only is going to be bad. Like, no one that's a Royal wants to win that way, is what I'm saying. Like, so.
Especially if, for an organization that, like, is, you know, it more is pushing that, like, the Royals have these, like, Midwestern family value,
like,
sort of
Walmart
with like
owned team. It's like
his weird like porn crusade, like anti-porn crusade and shit like this. Yeah, I'm like, I enjoyed the years 2014 and 2015 because I didn't really have to hear Dayton Moore like talk about anything. Yeah. Like the Royals spoke for themselves. But before that, and now after that, I'm like, Dayton Moore is like a jackass. Like,
and Ned Yost sucks. It's I hate all of it.
So that's your disappointing team for the
a lot of reasons for that. Yeah. And also, last thing I was saying, if you want to have like a redemption thing, like do like what the Rangers did with Josh Hamilton. Sit on it. I mean, I know they're trying to get in. You know what I mean? Like, let him redeem himself and then sign him.
Right.
That's where...
Or Matt Bush. The Rangers did it with Matt Bush, too.
Yeah.
Like,
I know, again, I'm not saying...
good effect.
Yeah.
To good effect for him, and it sounds... You know, like, it sounds like they did it in a way that was responsible and low-key and, you know, and not furthering the victim's pain.
Exactly. Like, let the public perception turn on Heimlich so that he's proven to us that he deserves
our attention. The burden of proof is on him to not be
and
a
terrible
person.
And then start talking
person.
About being the one that wants to continue to help him on his path.
Right. Well,
the Royals are my most
Royals,
disappointing
team. My most disappointing team is definitely the White Sox because like they suck so bad and I thought they were maybe going to be better than last year, but instead they're much worse. But I think that's probably boring to talk about because I talk about the White Sox all the time. So my other most disappointing team is going to be the Angels.
Because
I was pretty high on the Angels coming into the year. I thought they made a lot of good moves this offseason, and most of those moves have not worked out. Like, Kinsler's having a down year. Cozart is out for the season. Otani has obviously been hurt and has come back now and is hitting, which we talked about a couple episodes ago. It bums me out because Trout's having an incredible year, as we also have talked about. I guess it's funny that I picked the Angels because I was like, we talk about the White Sox too much, and we've talked about the Angels a ton. But, you know, they started off promising, and it just seemed like now they're behind the A's.
They're the same old Angels. Like,
yeah.
It's essentially like...
Kind of.
They're like not terrible. It's basically the Mike Trout show.
Yeah.
Like,
they do have
Simmons is doing well. But
Simmons is having a great year. They have a much better farm system than they have in the past. So it's not like they're without hope necessarily.
Right.
But they also, like, they've had some really, like, surprisingly disappointing performances, like Cole Calhoun, who was very good over the last few years and suddenly is terrible. And I just think... I wonder when it gets to the point for the Angels when they need more comprehensive changes. Like, when do they, like, maybe it's this year or after this offseason, but like, I think they should probably get a new manager, like Mike Scioscia. You know, whether you think he's a good manager or not, he's just been there for so long.
Yeah.
I think they do need to cut Pujols or buy him out or something like that. You know, it just feels like there are, like, they can't break out of this rut.
Yeah, and it is frustrating because it did look so promising.
Yeah, and you just want to see Trout in the playoffs. So I think...
Everyone, like, it's in Major League Baseball's best interest to have Trout in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure.
Speaking of the A's, though, they're disappointing in another way. It's disappointing for them to be in the American League and the AL West.
Well, so, yeah, but the A's were my...
Oh, okay.
Like, so another perfect... Damn, we're killing the segue game after a week off, too.
Yeah,
no, the A's are my most pleasant surprise.
Oh, for sure.
Like, they're what... I don't know where they... Last I checked, they were like 8 or 9 games over 500.
They are only like a game or a game and a half behind the Indians.
Right.
But they're like 8 games behind the Mariners, and the other wild card team is the Red Sox Yankees, second place.
Yeah.
So the A's are going to probably miss the playoffs, but they might be record wise as good as the Indians, which is a huge bummer.
Yeah,
for the A's.
For the A's.
Yeah,
but
they're
49-40
right now. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bummer for them. In a larger scope, like, I think they have to be ecstatic with how this year has gone. Like, nobody expected anything.
Definitely. And it's not like they're aging out of this. Like,
yeah, they have
a
bunch of good young guys. I wonder, like, I'm not counting them out of the second wild card. Like,
I mean, because the Mariners are smoke and mirrors. Like, yeah. a little bit. Like they're running, they've won like what 31 run games already.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Mariners right now, as we're recording this, they have a 6.5 game advantage. So yeah. obviously, like, and we've talked about that on other episodes as well. But you know, that those wins in the bank mean a lot. But like, I don't think it's impossible that. At the very least, it could be a tighter race than it is now.
It could be.
Which I think would be very good news for the A's and for their sort of medium to long-term prospects.
Yeah, these are the teams I like that kind of like, not that, I don't think any of us thought that the A's would be terrible. Like,
I mean, I thought they'd be pretty bad, probably.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought they'd be bad. They'd be uninterestingly
right.
Bad.
That's what, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they'd
yeah.
be like, the yeah, Padres. 74 wins or something yeah. like that. Yeah.
But I like when these teams just kind of come out. There's not a lot of hype. Like, they're just, I mean, it would be nice if
like
they had
the
more
Brewers
hype
last
point.
Year.
Yeah. I mean, the Brewers were hyped kind of just because they were taking on like the Cardinals and.
But last year, I mean.
Yeah.
Like, but when they came
the
into the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like last year, because Thames was so hot, the Brewers were like,
oh, they did
were
get hype,
about, yeah,
but
they
weren't
hype
coming into
no,
the
no,
year.
No,
at all.
But like got hype. But you, I don't like, I still don't hear a lot about the A's.
Yeah.
Like, even though, and it's probably because they're buried in a division with the Seattle has the fourth best record in baseball behind the Yankees, Astros, and Red Sox. And so I think Seattle's
yeah, that's pretty
a,
nuts.
And Seattle's doing it in like a super crazy way, and they have like a Paxton as a star, and like
the difference between the leagues is pretty crazy this year.
It really is.
Like there's essentially five teams in the AL with the A's on the fringe as well.
Yeah,
who are like playoff, like
yeah,
have already locked up playoff spots basically. But then in the NL, there's. What, like 10 teams competing for the playoff spots?
10 teams right now are within 5.5 games of a playoff spot.
Yeah.
'Cause
no, 11 teams.
Are you counting Pittsburgh?
No. We got Phillies, that? Braves, Nationals, Brewers, Cubs, Cardinals, Diamondbacks, Dodgers, Rockies, Giants. Or am I doing my math wrong?
Okay.
No, 10 teams. You're right.
Yeah, 10 teams because Pittsburgh's faded.
This is
back.
A baseball podcast, not, baseball, a not a math podcast.
But that's that's. And we're also talking, we'll talk about it later. There's not really a front runner in the NL for MVP. I mean, Freddie Freeman's probably the front runner, but there's not anybody that's like Trout or Ramirez, like we talked about. It's like the disparity between the leagues is really weird.
Yeah, I wish I was kind of rooting for. Like, I wish my favorite team was in the National League, basically.
I wish
it must be more fun to root to like be watching Cubs games, even though I think probably the Cubs have been a bit frustrating to you that they've been up and down.
Yeah.
But certainly like there's way more to pay attention to.
Yeah.
You know, just in terms of like scoreboard watching and like the playoff picture is constantly changing, like that kind of a thing.
Yeah, because right now they're only one game up for the first wild card spot, and then I think that spot's only like two games. So they're only like three games out of the playoff picture. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm watching not only the Brewers who are chasing, who are like definitely legit.
Yeah.
But I have to watch like the Phillies and Braves.
Right.
And Nationals and Giants and the whole NL West.
And there's
the
a bunch of interesting teams in there too.
Yeah.
If you just want to be like, you know, if the Cubs game is over and you want to flip something on.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You can like the watching a Phillies Dodgers game or something like that, or like, you know, Braves Cardinals. It's like those are interesting teams. All of them.
I don't remember who I adopted at the beginning of the season. I want to say probably Diamondbacks, but I think that
as your like second
team. Second team, but the Braves have. I've watched so many Braves games. I love watching the Braves.
Yeah, they're a fun team.
Like if a 10-year-old me heard me say that, I want to punch myself.
Tied for first place. So are the Braves your most pleasant surprise then?
Yeah, I guess they would be, right?
Unless you want to pick like an individual player or something.
No, it would be I think it is the Braves because I think pleasant surprise, not only in that I didn't think they'd be this good. I think that what we talked about they were a team that was a year away.
Yeah.
Cause we've talked about that. They are probably like a year ahead of the White Sox and like White Sox Braves 2020, I think was the big.
Yeah. They might be 2 years ahead of the White
Sox. I think
Sox
now, but I think like last year we were thinking that, you know, that they were not too far apart.
Yeah, no. They were sort of on a similar trajectory.
But just because, like, I don't I've never traditionally liked the Braves. They've been one of my least favorite teams.
Yeah.
And they have completely won me over.
Well, young teams are just always more fun because, you know, they're not, you don't have time to like get tired of the players yet.
But like Markakis is like a fun, weird story. Like,
yeah, that's a really weird one.
And then like Freddie Freeman is great and I'm glad he's getting recognition. And last year was a huge bummer because he was killing it and then got hurt.
Yeah.
And so then with like the young guys, plus like Chip Carey is the best carry we all voted on. Like, so,
we power ranked
them. Like, it's fun to watch the games.
Tyler Flowers, the one that got away from the White Sox.
So I think that they have been the most pleasant surprise, just as I would not have ever guessed that I would be like as into the Braves.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting if you like think about, because they're five games ahead of the Nationals, and the Nationals, you kind of... they're so familiar at this point of like who the Nationals are. But if you think about the Nationals 4 or 5 years ago, like the Nationals feel like the Braves, where you know, Harper and Strasburg coming up and Gonzalez and this like young pitching staff and like Rendon and Zimmerman is the Freddie Freeman guy. Yeah. And it's like that's kind funny. Of similar. And so the Nationals are kind of what it looks like when a team gets stagnant or whether they're stagnant or not, like in my mind, at least, like you get a little bit tired of them where you're like, they're the same team they were, but so like, I don't know.
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Like Acuna coming up and stuff is very much like Harper coming up. Like, I don't know. I just think it's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I think I'd be, Javi Baez has been such a... I know it's a homer thing, and we're tired of talking about it, but I texted you the other day that I've officially decided he's my favorite player in baseball.
Yeah.
It's the first time a Cubs player has ever been my favorite active player in baseball.
Wow.
And
this is big for you.
It's big for me. I don't... Like, I haven't really had a true favorite since Vladimir Guerrero.
Well, what you needed was a reason to watch the Cubs.
Yeah, that's what I needed, is the tune-in. He's just so fun. And I think he's been a surprise because he's always been fun, but now he's pretty good.
Yeah.
And so it's cool to see him.
No, he's having a great
year.
It's
good to see him not strike out all the time. It's cool to see his confidence is through the roof.
Yeah.
Which will bite him in the ass a couple times because his base running is insane.
Yeah.
Like, but he's, so that's been a pleasant surprise that he's gone from fun, frustrating player to just like pretty much only fun player.
Yeah. I understand it because sort of Tim Anderson is kind of gradually growing into my favorite player for similar reasons of like, it's also fun to sort of stick with these guys and watch them grow.
Yeah.
And like when you can see like tangible signs of like, oh fuck, remember when he was so frustrating to watch and now he's good. Like, so I get that.
But usually, I mean, we've both suffered through players that have you've hoped.
Yeah, then they don't get there.
Ceiling. Yeah. Yeah, and then they're fun and they're fun and frustrating, but then the fun fades away.
Yeah, and they're just frustrating.
And they're just frustrating. So it's nice to have Javi Baez and Tim Anderson to have the fun ratio versus frustrating.
Yeah, I would love it if Tim Anderson turns into Javi Baez at this point.
To Chicago. That'd be a dream if the Chicago can market that.
Yeah.
Like for the MLB and for that rivalry.
For sure. I mean, that could be like two great double play combinations. Yeah. Anderson Mancata and Russell Baez.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, yeah. I haven't thought about favorite player like in those terms in a long time, like beyond like MVP or whatever. I think, I don't really think I've had a favorite player since Burley retired, probably. He was probably my last favorite player.
I think I've had people that are like, they're probably my favorite player, but since Vlad Guerrero retired, this is my first true favorite player.
That's great.
Yeah. I'm so happy.
I hope you guys are very happy together, you and Javi.
Yeah, we will be.
Well, let's take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the Mets, eh?
Yeah.
All right. Stick around. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to Duck Snort. We're still here, trying not to melt in the LA heat.
It's so hot.
So hot. Too hot.
I don't like being hot. Do you like being hot? You grew up in Tucson.
This is a controversial take, but I don't like being hot.
Ah, you don't like being hot. Some people, you know, can handle being hot a little
bit. No, I don't like it at
all. It's my least favorite.
It sucks.
Weather really. I would much rather be cold or wet.
I always say that during the summer, and then during the winter, I'm like, ugh, this, I can't, you know.
Yeah.
It's too cold. I guess I'm just a wimp both ways.
You just don't like extremes?
Yeah. I mean, that's why I live in Los Angeles, baby. Yeah. Give me that 78 degrees.
Except for right now where it's in the hundreds.
Yeah.
So should we talk about the New York Mets?
Metropolitans? Yeah, yes. Let's do it. So
a storied franchise, if there ever was one.
Is it? Is that
no.
true?
No, not at all.
I mean, there are stories about the Mets. Plenty of stories.
There are a lot of stories, yeah.
Yeah, so favorite and least favorite players ever for the Mets. Why don't we start with let's start with a negative and on a positive.
Yeah, I like doing
note.
That.
Who's your least favorite Met?
I think we talked about it before, but it is Matt Harvey.
Jose
Reyes gets a special shout out because he's a piece of shit. But Matt Harvey is my least favorite Met.
Huh.
Although I also thought about picking him for my favorite Met for demanding to stay in game 5 of the 2015 World Series.
Because he blew it.
I don't know what it is about Matt Harvey. He has a bad attitude.
He's definitely got like jerk face sort of.
But I think
you just look at him and you're like, you're a jerk.
And he also like refused to get sent down. Remember all that earlier this year before he got traded?
Yeah, I don't know. I think by that point, like I don't blame him for being annoyed with the Mets because the way they handled his entire career is sort of fucked up.
I just never really liked him, and I think that he basically filled the villain role by having the gall to come in and think that he could stop the 2015 Royals. You know what I mean? And so I think
that's a very royal-centric point of view. The gall?
Yeah.
What kind of gall is that?
He had the gall to think and he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it.
I still don't know that I would call that gall as much as
that,
like...
You forgot about that, how magic that team was.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well,
anyone who dared to stand in its way.
This is a personal thing.
That's fine. That's true. That's true. Okay. You're right.
Here's the thing. Like, I don't feel like I like the Mets, but I was thinking about this, and like Matt Harvey is like really the only Met I feel like I've like hated.
Yeah.
Like, that's why this was kind of hard, because it was hard the other way too, because I feel so indifferent about the Mets.
Yeah. The Mets are a team that like I feel for their fans a little bit because they have been so mismanaged for a very long time. Yeah. They are the little brother team as the White Sox are to the Cubs. So
right,
I sympathize
that.
With that.
Their owner was in the, was,
was
caught up in the,
yeah, was
part of the,
Madoff scandal.
Madoff scandal. Yeah. Like, so I feel for them that way. And I definitely would cheer for them over the Yankees in a Subway Series.
Yeah.
But I've also, like, I don't know, like, they knocked the Cubs out of the World Series in 2015.
Yeah.
And then they were the adversaries for the Royals that same year, so I dislike them for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
I think the Mets, yeah, well, they so quickly sucked the fun out of that 2015 team. Like, the fact that 2014? 2015.
2015 was the year. Yeah,
yeah, they made the World Series, which seemed like you know, it was going to be a fun team for the next several years, and immediately it was not.
Not fun at all.
They have a way of doing that, I guess.
It's so weird how like they have a weird culture. It's like the Browns and there aren't a lot of teams that have like a continued culture over generations or decades. That's
right.
Like the same.
Well, that's why. So I sort of, like I did with the Brewers a little bit, like copped out. I'm choosing the Wilpons as my least favorite Mets.
That's a good
because,
choice,
like,
though. Yeah.
They made a shitload of money off of a pyramid scheme. Whether they knew that or not, I guess, is arguable, but it seems like there's some evidence that they knew. As I recall, I didn't do a ton of research into this. But, and just the fact that, like, they've, like, burned bridges with all these players who I liked, and they've just kept they've had incompetent management, and I think that goes to the top, you know, fish rots from the head or whatever. It's like having Omar Minaya for so long as the GM and then Terry Collins for so long as the manager and sort of blowing out Johan Santana's arm and all these other pitchers and seemingly mishandling David Wright's injury, who I liked a lot, continuing to pay Jose Reyes over and over, even as he's become a terrible baseball player and also an asshole.
Like, what's the point of having him on the team?
Yeah, I just don't. I don't get it. They remind me of Frank McCourt as well, the guy who used to own the Dodgers. Who is like, you know, they've over leveraged themselves. So this now baseball team is their only means of business. So if it's not turning a profit to sustain their lifestyle, like they can't sustain that lifestyle. So they are now like running the Mets like a small market franchise almost, which is fucking ridiculous. Yeah. So I guess like you were saying, like there's only the guys who I wrote as like my least favorite, the players, were Roberto Alomar and Robin Ventura. And that had a lot more to do with like their White Sox careers than their Mets careers.
Yeah, that's funny.
So I was like, well, I think if any ownership deserves like least favorite status, it's the Wilpons.
I think that's good. Wait, did you not like Robin Ventura when he played for the White Sox?
I did like Robin Ventura when he played for the White Sox.
The fact that he played for the Mets.
Yeah, and then he left and went to the World Series with them, which he did not do with the White Sox. And then I guess like I liked Robin Ventura as a player for the White Sox, and everything post his White Sox playing career has been terrible.
Oh, I see.
He was like with the Mets and then with the Yankees and then was a terrible manager. Yeah. And it's just like I just don't have good feelings towards Robin Ventura, like in general.
I
don't think that's enough. It doesn't have to do specifically with the Mets. Roberto Alomar, a little bit. He was bad with the Mets, and then the Mets traded him to the White Sox, where he was also bad. But it's not like it was a big trade, even or anything like that. So I think,
Robbie Alomar was already on his downslope by the time he got to the White Sox, even.
Yeah, by the time he got to the Mets.
Was he good on the White Sox?
No.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Because, like, Blue Jays, Orioles, Indians is when he was good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then the Mets signed him to a big contract, and he was, bad almost immediately. And then they traded him to the White Sox.
That, like, weirdly happens to them all the time.
Yeah.
I guess they just are bad at figuring out who's
Well, they sign a lot of old guys.
That's
true. Pedro Martinez and Tom Glavine and Mo Vaughn and...
But, like, Johan Santana shouldn't have been a bad signing, right?
He wasn't a bad signing. He just got
hurt.
Yeah. They just, like, threw him for 130 pitches and then no-hitter, and then he didn't ever have another good game.
Wow. That's a good one for the Mets. All right. Favorite Mets.
I went back and forth on this one.
Yeah.
I almost highlighted Pedro because I do just love Pedro in general.
He's great.
And I think... Wasn't Mets Pedro was the Pedro with the like a weird little person who like hung out with him all the time, right?
I think
Pedro was a candidate. Another candidate was Rick Reed. I don't know if you remember Rick Reed at all.
Whoa, that's a deep cut.
It is a deep cut, but I always liked him. He was kind of like the original like junk baller that I fell in love with a little bit.
Oh.
And he was a replacement player in the 95 strike and then sort of struggled and was like an outcast because he was scabbed or whatever. And then he came back to the Mets and eventually made two all-star teams with the Mets, which I like that. But the Met that I'm ultimately going with is R.A. Dickey.
Oh, that's a good one. I didn't even think of him. That's a good one.
Those like 2 years where like he came out of nowhere and then the next year won the Cy Young.
Yeah.
He was like one of my top five favorite players in baseball.
Was like knuckleballer, a good knuckleballer. Fun to watch.
And like he had a nasty knuckleball too. Like his knuckleball was different than the knuckleballs that I had seen before.
He had a little bit of speed, didn't he?
Yeah. He could throw it like almost 90 miles an hour and still get that knuckling movement. And, like, I think his just, like, whole career story is super interesting.
Yeah.
Like, that he doesn't have an elbow ligament and all this shit.
Yeah.
That, like, cost him a big signing bonus. And then he, like, was bad in the majors. And I don't know. I just, Yeah, I think he's a really compelling story. He was like so good that year with the Mets. I was so happy when he won the Cy Young.
Yeah.
And then, you know, managed to hang around. Like, I just love guys who shouldn't have major league careers and then do, much less have all-star Cy Young.
And it was kind
careers.
Of like, yeah, it was like a not even a controversial Cy Young. Like,
no.
Yeah, like, which is really cool because sometimes yeah. that happens and you're like, well, I don't know
yeah.
how much of the story play into this.
Yeah,
but
right.
he was just
the best pitcher in the league.
And
yeah.
he did it all year.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Thanks.
I like that one. I am going to go with... I know I usually do all time. I haven't really thought about my favorite all time Met. I don't know who would be Tom Seaver, I guess. We were talking about he has the highest WAR.
Yeah, David Wright was the other guy.
David Wright
was,
I did consider. Yeah. yeah. But I'm going to go with Carlos Beltran.
Ah, okay.
Which might be a little bit Royals
based.
Tainted.
I think that's a good choice. I mean, he did like. Well, he's a tough guy to think of as any one team, but I guess. Maybe
like
the Mets. Maybe the Mets are the team that I think of him.
I think if he went to the Hall of Fame, he'd wear a Mets hat.
Yeah. What, 5 years, 6 years for the Mets, something like that?
I don't remember. Because he just had the 1 year with the Astros, right? Wasn't that the trade? Or did he just have a half season?
Yeah, and then he came back to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it would be either
end, yeah.
Either Mets or Royals. Let's see. 7 years with the Mets, 7 years with the Royals.
Okay. I think he would choose to wear a Mets cap.
Yeah.
I think that I always liked Carlos Beltran. I was very bummed to see him go. But he's like, when I was growing up, he was like my favorite type of player because he was I still like that kind of player. He had power, he had speed, he was good at defense, he played center field. Like, he's just like the type of player I really enjoy watching.
Yeah, he's kind of the ideal, he's like the ideal player. Like,
yeah.
he's the ideal sort of like franchise centerpiece. He
yeah.
was never like the face of a franchise, really.
No.
Beyond the Royals, because I think. On those Mets teams, like, that was still sort of like Pedro
that's
era.
That's the crazy thing is that, yeah, I feel
and like
there was
David
always
Wright,
someone
Jose
else
Reyes
taking,
era.
Yeah. Or like, I think maybe Piazza was still even there when he first got there, Beltran.
Yeah, probably. But, I mean, 2005 was the year that he
yeah.
signed with the Mets.
Maybe Piazza.
So,
wasn't.
No, Piazza, Reyes, Wright, Pedro, and Glavin, yeah.
Yeah, so. But I think, like, he seemed to handle being in New York pretty well. I mean, he was vilified for taking that strike three call against the Cardinals that 1 year. 2006, maybe? Was that 2006?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Oh, it was, like, the playoffs. It was, like, a huge moment, and the Mets...
Yeah, I guess that was the year the Cardinals won this World yeah. Series when they won, like, 84
yeah,
games
and
or
they,
whatever.
And he took a called third strike, which sucks. Like, you definitely want your best player, your...
Go,
who's supposed
go down
to be your
swinging.
Best player going down swinging or
yeah.
protecting the
that's
plate.
That's like me and the LABF, you know what I mean?
yeah.
You want me to go down
yeah, I want you to go down swinging. But like, he kind of got vilified for that, and I don't know, like it seems like Mets fans like never really forgave him, so that's probably why he never became this huge superstar.
Wait, sorry, I have to derail the conversation
yeah.
for a second. So I pulled up that 05 Mets team that
yeah.
was... Beltran's first year.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at like the on Baseball Reference, they have like the top WAR guys
yeah.
at the top. And it's Pedro, David Wright, Cliff Floyd, Tom Glavin, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then fifth ahead of Carlos Beltran is Jaewon So.
What?
Who the fuck is that?
Jaewon So.
With three wins above replacement. He started 14 games for the Mets that year and
was
very good. Yeah. I don't remember this guy at all.
Whoa.
Weird. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, so Beltran, I think I got over him leaving the Royals, and I kind of low-key... I wished he didn't play for the Mets just because I'm so indifferent about the Mets, but I liked him. I was happy to see him play for the Astros again. I don't know. I just like him.
That's
like
good.
Beltran.
You
and
know,
it's a different. It's definitely Royals tainted.
Yeah,
but
you know, I kind of feel like my feelings towards Beltran are a little bit similar towards my feelings about Beltran are similar to my feelings towards Cespedes, who I like a lot.
Yeah,
and who
yeah.
like is kind of like the best player on the Mets and has been the last several years. But like,
yeah.
I don't think about either of them that much. which is weird for how good of players they are.
But I didn't even think of Cespedes, but he's up there for me for favorite.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And he's been basically nothing but great for the Mets on these like mostly mediocre Mets teams. Like another dude who is suffering, I think, because of the ownership of the Mets. Like his greatness is going under-recognized.
Isn't it weird to think of him playing for the A's?
Yeah, totally. He's had a weird career.
Yeah.
For having been in the league, this is his seventh season in the league, and he's played for four teams.
It feels like he's been in the league for 25 years.
Yeah, no, 2012 was his first year. Yeah, Oakland, Boston, Detroit.
I completely forgot that he played for Boston and Detroit.
Yeah.
I honestly did.
Yeah.
What happened? He got traded to, or did he sign with Boston?
No, he got traded twice. He got traded mid-season to the Red Sox. Or no, he got traded in the offseason to the Red Sox, and then that was the year that the Red Sox were really bad.
And he went to the Tigers.
Oh, wait. Yeah, so he got, I don't know.
Wow, I completely forgot about both of those facts.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm getting old. speaking of trades, I'm going to segue into future speculating about podcast topics.
Okay. Speculate away,
baby. Well, I imagine we're going to start talking about the trade.
He was traded for John Lester. The A's traded him to the Red Sox for Johnny Gomes, John Lester, and cash.
And then fucking John Lester fucked it up for the A's against the 2014 Royals.
Yeah,
maybe.
And then he was traded for Rick Porcello.
Cy
and then he was traded for Michael Fulmer. He's been traded for a lot of good pitchers.
Yeah.
Anyway, future trade topic.
It's trade deadline month.
Podcast topic. Yeah. I think we'll be talking trades a lot.
Yeah. Hopefully there's some good ones.
Hot stove season is one of my favorites. I will say, I think we're wrapping things up here, but I will say, I know we've talked about annoying MLB notifications before.
Yeah.
I've gotten so many fucking notifications about places Manny Machado might get traded.
God, who cares?
I'm like, shut up. If he hasn't been traded, like, don't send me notifications. I'll find my, like, trade rumors.
I hate that. So I hate trade rumors.
I like trade rumors, but like I want to search them out. I don't need them like buzzing my phone, especially when it's the top seven Manny Machado destinations. Like, fuck you. That's not even a rumor. That's just like speculation. That's just an article. You're just sending me a note. Ooh, gets my goat.
I get it the same way. I'm very over any sort of speculation because it's like, especially that it doesn't matter.
Do it or don't. Yeah. You know,
but hopefully the trade deadline isn't like the off season one this year where we are sitting around and nothing happens.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because of sort of that, like, the separation in leagues that we were talking about before. It'll be interesting to see if those National League teams make a bigger push, if they're sort of on the outskirts. Or
Blake
if,
Snell's
like,
on the move?
Who?
Blake Snell?
No, I don't think so.
He's killing it.
Yeah, but I think he still has like 3 years of control left. Like, it would have to be a big package. But like, it'll also be interesting to see. I think the Mariners will definitely make a couple of moves because he's Trader Jerry DePoto over there.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see whether like maybe the Red Sox or the Yankees make a move to try to separate from the other team because of the like the benefit of winning the division versus being in the one game playoff is pretty huge.
The Brewers are. Probably make a move. Get a pitcher.
For a starter. I mean, they would be the team that should trade for Snell, if anybody.
Would the Nationals make a move since they're...
Yeah.
Because it feels like the Braves and Phillies shouldn't make any big moves. That would seem silly. And it feels like the Dodgers shouldn't make any
moves. It depends. Like, if a guy like Snell was moving, like, that would work for the Braves and Phillies, too. You know, that's the argument
depends
for
what you
have that
to give
trade,
up,
but,
though.
Yeah.
Like, it feels silly for the Braves or Phillies to give up anything significant.
Yeah.
Whereas it wouldn't be so crazy for the Nationals to give up a bigger piece because their window is closing.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I meant. Or like the Brewers, I feel like their window is wide open.
Right.
Like, I think some people are saying that the Brewers are like, they need to wait. It's like, for what?
Yeah, they're in first place.
We're here. yeah. Like, they need, like, so I don't think it'd be crazy for the Brewers to get rid of some prospects.
Yeah. And they have redundant pieces,
right.
too. You know, they've got Domingo Santana and...
He's in the minors right now.
Yeah, yeah, but he probably still has value to
for
another
sure.
team.
But I think that's a good point of, like, don't wait.
Yeah.
Like, you can make a big
trade one of your nine outfielders.
Yeah. Indians are probably going to stay put because their division sucks so much. They might make some small things.
Yeah, they'll probably do something. But yeah, it will be interesting. Let's talk about it, and we'll try to get maybe a cool guest with some inside info to come on.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, good app. Great app. A+ app. Glad to be back.
Oh, it's great.
And yeah, we'll be back next week once more with more baseball talk for Duck Start. Thanks again to Boardwalk and to Off the Bench. Thanks to producer Joe. Thanks to Moonbounce for our transition music. Thanks to y'all for listening. Find us on Twitter at DuckSnorePod. Email us, DuckSnorePod@gmail.com. And we will talk to you later. So long. I don't feel better, babe.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.